and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. It's not a true branch. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Tonight we'll start a message on the vine and the branches. In John chapter 14, we found Jesus comforting his disciples with promises of power, with the indwelling of the presence of his Spirit and his unfailing love for them. In chapter 15, Jesus now focuses more on the necessity of the disciples maintaining communion with him and with one another as the means of bearing spiritual fruit. And as we strive to rightly divide the word of truth in examining the meaning of this passage, we must not forget that Jesus is talking directly to genuine believers. In John chapter 15, he is dealing directly with the 11 apostles that were meeting together with him. They were secluded from everyone else. Judas Iscariot has left. And I really believe there's a portion of this that's a warning to the other these disciples about false professors like Judas Iscariot. Now, those present at this discourse were authentic believers in Jesus Christ. They were inseparably united to him by faith. They were walking with him. They were abiding with him. They were listening to him. They were being instructed by him. Another key, now again, Judas had been removed from their assembly. Right? At this juncture, Judas is out making arrangements for the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another key in interpreting this passage is to understand that Jesus is not speaking chiefly of the disciples' position in Christ, but rather their abiding in him by means of communion and fellowship. The great theme of this chapter is the means, the method, and the measure of fruit bearing as found in those united to Jesus Christ. We need to also remember that Jesus is found employing the means of parabolic teaching in John 15, or metaphorical teaching. He is comparing himself to as a true vine, the Father as the husbandman, and genuine believers as branches that are united to him. Now, a lot of false teaching has arisen out of fanciful application of parabolic metaphors. They try to make every little thing mean something. When you're interpreting parables, it's essential to remember that a general theme or teaching is being set forth. In this case, it's the subject of fellowship with Christ in relationship to spiritual fruit bearing. Now, understanding the word abide is key to the understanding of this passage of Scripture. In John 15, verses 1 through 10, the word abide or abideth, those words are used 8 times in 10 verses. Now, the simplest interpretation of the passage is that true believers are united to the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they abide in Him, and they bring forth fruit. My contention is, Jesus is teaching that every genuine believer brings forth fruit, some measure of fruit. False professors are not united to the true vine, and therefore do not abide in Him. And as a result, they will be judged. It'll result in their judgment in hell. Now, I really like the summary that John MacArthur gave when he introduced this passage of Scripture. So bear with me, because this is a really good quote. It's full of a lot of truth here. He says, "Believers' vital relationship with Jesus Christ is depicted in this passage in another familiar analogy. Just as a branch depends entirely on the vine for life, sustenance, growth, and fruit, so believers depend completely on the divine Lord as the source of their spiritual life. And just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine, so believers cannot bear spiritual fruit apart from their life-giving union with Christ. As he said in verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing." Now this is interesting. The Greek word for abide is meno, M-E-N-O. And it describes something that remains where it is, continues in a fixed state, or endures. In this context, the word refers to maintaining an unbroken communion with Jesus Christ. Always the master storyteller, Jesus wove all the key figures of the night's events into his analogy. He is the vine, the Father, the vine dresser. The abiding branches illustrate the 11 and all other true disciples, and the non-abiding branches picture Judas and all other false disciples like him. One last time before his death, Jesus warned against following the pattern of Judas. He challenged all who claim to believe in him to demonstrate the genuineness of their faith by enduring faith in him. Now tonight we're going to focus mainly on verse 1. The vine and the husbandman. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." This is the last "I am" in the Gospel of John. 7 times Jesus had said, "I am," declaring his deity. He declares himself to be the true vine, as opposed to all other vines that are unable to bring forth life and sustain it. In the Old Testament, God likened the nation of Israel to a vine of his planting. In Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, and in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. However, Israel, through their idolatry, through their apostasy, proved to be a strange vine, unable to bring forth spiritual fruit. They were so bad, in fact, that the end of the old covenant ended with Malachi. The very last verse of Malachi is talking about a curse. And for 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, God did not speak in any way to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 2:21 says this, "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me. By way of contrast, Jesus fully embodies all that is suggested by a fruitful vine as the source of all life for the branches that are connected to it. A fruitful vine is beautiful to look upon with its lively branches spreading out, bearing clusters of fruit that yield the wine that makes glad the heart of man. A vine, the true vine, brings forth fruit that is useful to God and to man. A vine also suggests the idea of fruit bearing while dwelling upon the earth. That's why it exists. The chief responsibility of the branches that are connected to the vine is to bring forth fruit that's useful. Jesus is teaching the disciples that he's teaching us now by way of extension that our main function while on earth is to bring forth fruit, spiritual fruit, through means of communion, obedience, and love and devotion to God. This is the essence of what fruit bearing is all about: abiding, continuing, enduring in the faith, in the love, in the grace of God. And that is our responsibility, to abide in Him. Jesus wanted to make sure the disciples realized that all their spiritual life and all of their subsequent fruitfulness came only by virtue of their union with Him. That's why he would say, "Without me ye can do nothing." In other words, you'll bear no fruit apart from me. Apart from my grace, my power, my influence, my energy. A branch has no life of its own. It is wholly unable to bring forth any fruit unless it's attached to the vine from which it receives sap. Now you think, many religions have introduced strange vines of their own planting that yield no real life or fruit. You think about all the false religions and all the things that they say bring forth life, and they don't. They're dead works that ought to be repented of. Every person that goes to the baptismal pool in order to be saved, that's a dead work that ought to be repented of. Every Catholic that prays the beads and goes to the priest, those are all dead works. They're nothing apart from Jesus Christ. And Jesus is making this crystal clear. I'm the true vine. Don't try to substitute anything in the place of me, in the place of my perfect life, my sacrificial death, my burial, my resurrection, my ascension into heaven, my intercession for you. I'm the true vine. That's where you get all your fruitfulness, all of your life, all of your strength. True disciples of Jesus Christ must be found depending entirely upon Him as their source and substance of spiritual life. So many are duped into thinking that the observance of ordinances, rituals, laws, regulations are the means of sustaining life and bringing forth fruit. They're all lies. The Muslim religion, it's a lie. The Catholic religion is a lie. Every religion that points to a man or to man's activities as the way of spiritual fruitfulness is only through Christ, nothing else. Jesus makes it clear in the verses that follow that all life and all fruit must proceed from Him. He alone is the true vine. And this is the last I am declaration by the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus also declares that his Father is the divine husbandman, the one who is responsible for the cultivation, the protection, and preservation of the vine and its branches. Well, it makes sense. The Father determined before the world began, in the covenant of grace, the covenant of redemption, whatever you want to call it, when He entered into covenant, when the God the Father chose a great number out of Adam's fallen race and gave them to God the Son, who agreed to die in their stead, to redeem them by His own covenant blood. It's called, His blood's called the blood of the everlasting covenant. He entered into covenant with the Father on behalf of believers that He would die in their stead, all that the Father gave Him. And the Spirit of God entered into covenant to give life and the gifts of repentance and faith to all that the Father gave to the Son and all that the Son died for. God the Father is the one who orchestrated all the details of this plan. That's why He's called the husbandman. He is in control of all of the branches that are united to the vine. And the Father determined before the world began to send forth His eternally and only begotten Son to the earth to bring forth spiritual fruit by securing the salvation of all of His elect. Jesus Christ is a root, a branch out of dry ground. Isaiah 53. The Father's watchful eye beheld the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And verse 2 of Isaiah 53, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. It was the Father who bade the angel to speak to Joseph, prompting him to flee to Egypt to escape the murderous design of Herod. The husbandman, the vine dresser, He's protecting the vine that would yield all the fruit. It's the Father who owns and cares for all those who are part of His blessed vineyard. This is when you understand this truth, you will never be able to believe Arminian slop. You'll never be able to believe in man's free will as a way of salvation, or baptism, or the idea that you can lose your salvation if the Father is the husbandman and Christ is the true vine. Then all who are united to Him have life everlasting. Because we're in God. We're in Christ. And in Him is eternal life. What a source of comfort to know that the eternal God is the one in charge of watching over and protecting His branches that abide in the true vine. We'll close with this quote from Charles Ross. I hope when I get to heaven I find out he's kin to me. I really enjoy his book. And while Jesus is thus the true vine, the source of His people's spiritual life and fruitfulness, His Father is the husbandman. That is, the great proprietor of the vineyard and its cultivator. The title of husbandman is given to God as at once the owner and the vine dresser. He it is who possesses it and who watches over it with peculiar care. Jesus doubtly intends to impress upon them the value of this plant which God Himself tends and watches over with such care. Let's all stand.
Yes, I do.